Hello and welcome to the Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked, week 7, Lingerie Week, with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
As always, quick disclaimer, we are not associated with the BBC, with Love Production, or with the Great British Sewing Bee. This is just a personal podcast of friends talking about a show that we really love. So week 7, Lingerie. This is one that you've been looking forward to, isn't it, Sean?
It is. I love this week to bits because I tend to do a lot of dancewear stuff. I have been able to work with pole dancers that I've trained with. So a lot of the patterns that I have used to make previous costumes for them have been based on underwear patterns. There's lots of similarities. So yeah, I do love this week. I am, however, waiting because we seem to always get bras and a bra and knicker set. I'm waiting for the day that they turn around and go, right, you have an hour and a half to make a stripper thong. And I would ace that in minutes. I would have that stripper thong done in 10 and rhinestoned.
I have a feeling that we might not be getting that anytime soon.
It's not exactly family friendly, is it? But if there is ever a strip-a-thon challenge, I would love to be a part of it.
this one's a bit of a weird one. I'm not a massive fan of lingerie. It's not something that I've really done before or kind of on my bucket list of stuff to do. I would like to do some swimwear, which I haven't done yet, which kind of is somewhere in the same kind of area and category as this, but I was a bit like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, but I did really enjoy a lot of this episode.
It was a good one, wasn't it? I mean, there were some ups and downs and some rather emotional bits, but it was quite a good challenge. Well, a good set of challenges. It was a good week.
It was, yeah, and it was an emotional roller coaster. I've got some tissues ready for later. So talking about challenges, let's talk about the first challenge, the pattern challenge. They had 3 hours and 45 minutes to create a matching bra and knicker set from lace. There were really small pieces. There was a lot of different elastic to be placed on the lace. It looked like it was possibly like a stretch lace, and they had power mesh as well. So this, I think, was a deceptively difficult challenge.
Oh, definitely a deceptively difficult challenge. I mean, I fortunately, when it comes to kind of bra tops, I found my own little cheats, but I don't think I would have gotten away with that with Esme watching. And luckily, when I tend to create tops, the panels aren't as small as they are for actual bras. But yeah, someone who's worked with stretch lace before, it can be an absolute nightmare fabric. So at least they had the power mesh to back the lace up just to give it a bit of strength and make it a whole lot easier to sew with.
Mm-hmm. I guess dealing with multiple forms of fabric that have different stretch qualities in them, especially stuff like power mesh that will stretch kind of four ways, it's really can be quite tricky to sew and keep everything going in the right direction and making sure they're not getting puckers or slipping stitches and stuff like that. So it's tricky, I think, to do, especially if you're not used to those kind of fabrics.
It can be a nightmare fabric to work with. Luckily, I haven't had many people ask me to make stuff out of it because I'd just end up giving up sewing if that was my constant material that I had to use. But yeah, at least with having that power mesh at the back, it prevents any stitches from being missed. It helps add a bit of strength. So the seams aren't as weak either, because sometimes you get some really, really weak points in the lace. So I think they were very, very fortunate, particularly with the bra, that they got to use power mesh. But yeah, I quite liked this one. I would have quite liked to have been a part of it, but knowing me, I would have kind of done when Marnie said in Children's Week, she said she'd never admit to have sewn Halloween costumes because that would be her downfall. I would keep absolutely quiet about my experience of making underwear because I said, yeah, I've done this, and that would have been, I would have made the biggest mess in the world.
Yeah, always keep quiet, I think, if you've done something. Always keep it to yourself.
I
So
probably would have ended up making like a one boob bra or something, just sewn all of the panels together and made one giant bra cup.
going completely off piece there. Looking at how all of the sewers did, generally, I thought that they all did really well and they were very close when they were coming to judge them. There wasn't really a lot between kind of the very top and the very bottom. Everyone had, I think, really achieved a high standard.
Yeah, everyone did really, really well. It's not an easy thing to make. And I think actually the standard that they got was phenomenal. And it must have been very, very hard for the judges. Obviously, we had the clear bottom two, the clear top two, but there really was only a few stitches really dividing everyone up.
Yeah, so looking, going from the bottom to top. So we've got Jill who came in last place, who used a neon pink fabric. And the main problem she seemed to have was just handling the fabrics in the bra top and it causing a bit of a pleat issue in the cup. And that she'd put the straps on the outside instead of the inside, which a couple of them had done as well. But it, generally, from a distance, it looked, you know, it looked fine.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. There was the pleat. It wasn't an ideal place for a pleat to happen. But for someone I'm assuming has never sewn a bra before, she did very, very well with it. Yeah, it was just a shame that it happened when it happened. But yeah, it wasn't a massive deal. And I imagine actually had there'd been someone actually wearing that, you probably wouldn't have noticed the pleat as much.
Yeah, I agree. I think it
There's garments always look different when they're on a mannequin to when they're on an actual human being.
definitely. And shout out to Jill here because I've not done a bra set, but when I've done different tops and elasticated waists and stuff, when working with elastic, where you're having to control the tension and it going through, I struggle with two hands making sure that it's going through and the tension's right. And you know, it's not getting too loose. And I don't know how she even is so skilled that she does that with one hand. Like, it's like when I'm doing that, I often think I could have a third hand here. It's just crazy to me. So, you know, take my hat off, like, Jill, that's incredible.
She is an absolutely phenomenal sewer who is incredibly skilled. And yeah, she deserves so much praise for her amazing ability.
Moving on to fifth place was Christian, who had used a very classic red lace for his lingerie. There were some very like small issues, but it seemed to be the one that they pointed out was the symmetry of the bra top. It wasn't, it had kind of been pulled and were a little bit warped, I think, on one side. But again, it was another set that actually from a distance I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, and again, I think had it have been worn, it might not have been so obvious that it was slightly warped on one side. Yeah, again, for someone who has no understanding of how a bra is constructed and has made one in that time frame with really, really tricky materials, I think he did incredibly well. I mean, no one can really criticize any of the Sowers for what they produced because they did a really, really good job. And yeah, it was a shame because the symmetry was a bit, or the lack of symmetry was a bit more obvious in this one. I'm finding it really hard to even give small critiques.
Definitely. And also, boobs aren't symmetrical either. So, you know, that might have fit in one painting. Fourth place was Deborah, who had used the grey lace, which had a bit of sparkly and which I thought was quite jazzy. She had a bit of an issue with a bumpy gusset, which is never good.
Likes a bumpy gusset.
No one likes a bumpy gusset. And I think there was a bit of an issue where she'd overstretched some of the elastic in, so it was kind of a bit pulling away from the body a little bit. But again, they're all quite small things.
Yeah. No one's ever made something for the first time and it's turned out perfectly. It's to be expected that there's going to be a couple of little hiccups because it's those little hiccups that allow you to learn and develop your skills. And I loved her fabric choice. I thought it was beautiful. I think grey is very, very understated sometimes. Grey can be a very, very seductive colour. I think she did a really, really good job. The only thing I couldn't quite work out was why it said that they needed to top stitch the gusset down, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the problem with top stitching is, I mean, if you're doing just a regular top stitch, when you sew underwear, you want the stretch to be going along the waistline. So that means the gusset is also going to stretch in that direction. So if you then top stitch over it, you're then restricting the stretch in that section. Whenever I've made pants and stuff before, I've just caught the gusset in with the lining and it sort of created like a little pocket. I've never actually top stitched it down because I've always found you end up with a wonky gusset.
That's a wonky gusset and a bumpy gusset. These are not good things.
No, they're really not.
I don't know. I struggled to see when they showed their quick drawing and the kind of demonstration bit, I kind of missed exactly how that gusset was going in, and I just thought, I'm not going to make knickers anytime soon. I'm not soon on that.
Luckily for menswear, we don't tend to need a gusset. We just tend to have a bit of lining. So menswear is significantly a lot easier to make than women's underwear.
I mean, I have an industrial strength and gusset in all of my underwear, but you know, I have my own. and I would agree with you that the grey, I really like the grey choice, and that I think it is quite a classy and a sexy look. People often think of grey as being quite drab and boring, but I think if it's done right and it's the right shade of grey, I think it can be really amazing.
Oh, definitely.
So, third place, we had Brogan, who had used a light pink lace. And the only real issue I think she kind of faced was the straps being sewn on the outside, which I thought was uncharacteristic of Brogan sewing, because she's normally very meticulous with all of the points and stuff. And I guess maybe she just had it turned the wrong way and thought she was sewing it on the inside, and then afterwards realised, actually, no, it's the wrong way around. Another great looking set.
It was great. And I think the mistake that Brogan made was she actually stitched the elastic to the right side, but she then folded it over in the wrong way. So then she folded it so the elastic was folding in on itself, when actually this is really hard to explain. And I'm even like using my hands and forgetting we're on a podcast, so people can't actually see the shapes I'm making with my hands right now. But when you kind of want to fold the fabric over, not the elastic, and I think that's where she went wrong with hers. But again, it was a stunning set. It was really well done. It was just a little bit out of character for someone who's very meticulous with her patterns.
Yeah, definitely. So second place, we've got Manye, who had used the navy lace. I thought it was a beautiful colour. It looked really well done. The front was ever so slightly kind of a little bit wonky, but apart from that, I thought it was really well done. And again, like grey, I think navy can be a really classic and really beautiful colour for things like underwear and loungewear. That people often kind of think it's a bit boring, but actually I think it's quite sexy.
It is. Navy is a beautiful colour, particularly on certain skin tones. It is a stunning, stunning colour. But yeah, it's apart from that small little warp in the front of the bra, she did an absolutely phenomenal job, and it made me very, very happy to see, like, Manye kind of start to get her sewing back on track again. She was always one of those ones from the beginning, was like, oh, she's going to be really fun to watch. Then we kind of dropped a little bit. Now we're starting to pick ourselves back up again. So I'm getting excited.
Yes, definitely. And first place, we had Annie, who was shocked to come first. She'd picked the classic white lace for hers. And I mean, it was pretty much perfect, which is amazing for never doing underwear before. I know there's quite a few people like Esme herself that runs, you know, courses where you can go and do a day course in making underwear, and to basically be handed some basic instructions and said, right, here's your lace, here's your power mesh, there's your sewing machine, here's some instructions, get on with it. I just, you know, applauding Annie here. What fantastic work.
She did really, really well. They were so beautifully constructed. She did such a super, super, super job. And yeah, it made me quite happy to see, because Annie, though she did well with the Parkers, she's always kind of fallen a little bit behind everyone else when it came to the patterns. So it's really nice to see Annie coming out in front for a pattern challenge, especially twice. I was really happy with that. And it was brave also to go for white, because as someone who's made stuff with white fabrics before, all it takes is for you to accidentally stab yourself with a pin, and if you get the smallest drop of blood on that, it is really obvious. Yeah, it was brave for her to go for the white. I wouldn't have touched the white fabric at all. I would be far too scared to touch the white.
Yeah, me too. I'm also very clumsy and have covered various sewing projects in blood and spilt tea and all sorts over various projects, dipped them in my drink or...
Oh, yeah, numerous coffees I've dipped projects into, and you're just like, hang on a minute, why is this wet?
Yeah.
And realise that you're kind of hovering over your freshly made coffee.
So that was the pattern challenge. See, week 7 now, everything's going real quick. There's only 6 people to talk about now.
I know. I mean, this episode's going to be really short.
Yeah,
maybe we need to ramble more. Let's ramble more.
We'll fill it with waffle, I'm sure, at the end. So, challenge 2, the transformation challenge. They were allowed to choose thermal sleep sets and had to produce a going out garment in 90 minutes. They could use as much trim as they wanted, but no extra fabric. And all the thermal sleep sets were in pastelish kind of colours. This is a challenge.
I would have nabbed every single shade of grey I could get my hands on. I actually think I'm allergic to pastel colours. I'm really not a fan of pastel colours at all. But it was quite an interesting challenge. The only thing that stumped me a little bit was when they said an outfit for going out in. So whenever they say that, I automatically imagine going out for a couple of drinks. And then when I was seeing things like picnic dresses and sweaters and stuff like that being made, I was like, okay, that's an interesting thing to go out in. And then when I actually listened back to it for, I think it was the fourth time I watched the episode, I realised that literally they just meant leaving the house. going out, leaving the house to do anything you wanted, walk the dogs, go for a picnic, pop down the shop to get some milk. So yeah, for me, as someone who likes things to be very specific, I probably would have needed to kind of clarify that this could literally be a do any task sort of outfit and not just a nightclub little cocktail dress sort of moment.
Yeah, I also fell into that. I think they needed to be a little bit clearer as to exactly what the garment was going to be used for, because yeah, when they said a going out garment, I was instantly thinking of evening wear to go to a bar, restaurant or nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was thinking, God, that is going to be really difficult with pastels. And I guess thermals are like a knit jersey?
Really? Yeah, it's quite a thick jersey to keep you insulated during the cold nights. But if you're anything like me, I cannot stand being warm during the night. Absolutely hate it. So I've never actually owned any thermals in my life.
See, I've got some thermal somewhere, not to be worn at night, but for wearing to garden and like on during the winter and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And also I've lived in some very cold houses over the years.
Okay, fair enough. I think you've got a bigger need for them than I do.
So let's go from the bottom to the top again.
Yeah.
In sixth place, unfortunately, we had Jill, who had produced a pink and grey combo. It was like a boob tube with one sleeve and then like a gathered skirt. And she'd put a silver, like metallic lace trim on, I think, both items.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I wasn't like offended by it at all. I thought Esme was right. If she'd had more time and had done another sleeve, it would have maybe evened up the garment a little bit, but it didn't offend me.
No, it was I got kind of 90s pop star music video vibes from it anyway, so I didn't hate it. I wasn't offended by it. I get it was a little bit basic, and I don't feel that the trim that she used worked with the garment.
Yeah, it did look a little bit like it was kind of thrown on at the last minute and maybe not considered, but it's not the worst thing I've seen come out of the haberdashery and being sewn on to a garment, yeah. Damien.
Yeah, Mr. I'm just going to grab everything I can get my hands on.
Yeah, so I mean, I really don't think it was that bad. I think everyone did well this week.
Yeah, everyone did a really, really, really good job. But yeah, I get what the judges were saying. It did feel a little bit basic when you looked at the other transformation. It was probably the least transformed. But I wasn't offended by it. When we're getting down to the top six, they are literally going to be picking at the smallest wrong stitch. You could literally go wonky by 2 millimeters, and that is what you'll be picked up on now.
Yeah, definitely. Fifth place, we have Manier, who had... she'd created a cage over like a kind of mini dress, and she'd then put daisies from the haberdashery onto the cage, which she later regretted. I thought it was a cute idea. The underdress, though, looked like a complete mess. And the elephant in the room was that the top cage part was glued together. Now, Esme and Patrick said, Esme said that she didn't really care. And Patrick kind of said, well, it's, you know, if she had time, she would have sewn those. And it's just to basically show the idea. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here because I'm kind of thinking like, well, you know, if you can just glue stuff together, then that's like, this seems a little dodgy to me. So what did you think about Manu's use of the glue gun, Sean?
I mean, the title is, I mean, the clue is in the title. It's the Great British Sewing Bee. So I was a little bit disappointed. I'm not gonna lie, it was a little bit of a letdown, but I also kind of got a bit of a nod to her old cosplaying days. I imagine like having to create costumes quite quickly for conventions. She probably relied quite a lot on a glue gun. And I don't mind a little bit of glue every now and then if it helps stick an embellishment or something on. But I don't know, I was a little bit disappointed that the harness top wasn't sewn.
Yeah, and I understand what Patrick and Esme mean by saying, you know, it was used and it's fine because it's just kind of show how something would be, you know, how it would look at the end of the day. It's about the transformation. But then I kind of feel bad because in the past, I'm sure on different transformations, they picked other people up on bits not being finished or raw edges and other like things like that. So I kind of feel like it's a bit hypocritical if you don't pick someone up on gluing together an outfit.
I think there has definitely been comments in the past about things being glued and not sewn. Yeah, I was disappointed, but good to know that I can get away from gluing stuff next if I ever get on.
You have to pack plenty of extra glue sticks with you.
I just won't take fabric.
So, fourth place, we had Brogan, who had used kind of, it was like, there were pink, there were some different multicoloured panels on it. It was a dress with like a lace-edged bib front. It looked really well made, I have to say. It's not my cup of tea personally, but it did look well sewn, and I could imagine certain girls, you know, loving that kind of Little House on the Prairie meets Milkmaid 17th century, you know, lady. I'm not a massive fan though.
Yeah, I mean, it was classic Brogan granny couture. It was well made, but initially when I thought, oh, going out, I could imagine that one friend turning up and the rest of the friends going, what the hell are you wearing? You're going out for ball and you've turned up dressed like your gran.
I have a feeling that the girls she's going out with might all be wearing matching outfits.
Yeah, I imagine Brogan is the main seamstress of her friendship group anyway, so I imagine who's the one making all the outfits anyway.
That would be an amusing to see a gaggle of girls all with their lace frilled bib dresses. Yeah. Going out on the town.
But yeah, I wasn't a massive fan of it, basing on transformation and construction alone, it was really good.
Yeah, actually, saying that, you're right. As a transformation and construction wise, it was, you know, really spot on, if not my own personal taste. But yeah, really well done. So, third place, we had Christian, who had produced a yellow and lilac tiered dress with daisy embellishment. And actually, the next three, Christian, Annie, and Deborah's, I thought were all fantastic, and I couldn't really place them. I would wanted them all three to come first, basically, for different reasons. Yeah. Christian's, I thought, was very well considered. I liked the colour choices, where he'd use the colours, how he'd use the colours. The use of the trims from the haberdashery was really well thought out and looked like it was part of the dress and not just thrown on at the end to me. I thought it was a really cute look that a lot of girls would want to wear out to, you know, like a summer picnic or something. I thought it was really great. I could not applaud him more for this. It seemed like quite a bit of work as well. Simple design, but a lot of, you know, sewing each of those tiers in and stuff. So well done, Christian. I thought that was really cute.
It was really flattering shape. It was very well thought out, very well constructed. I love the kind of boho chic look. Admittedly, again, this was one of those ones that I went, what the hell are you doing? When I thought it was a going out dress, not a just leaving the house dress. But yeah, again, transformation, construction, design, everything was flawless. It was really good. I was really, really happy to see him do really well. I'm really forward to seeing Christian's progression.
Yeah, I mean, I have no more good words. I can't even use my words now.
No more praise. You've been left speechless.
Yeah, to give. I thought it was fantastic. So another one that I was absolutely bowled over was Annie, who came in second. And she had produced, it was kind of like a plaited halter neck dress. And she had used the leggings to create a plait detail that went from the bust up to around behind the neck. And then she had threaded through a golden pearl chain from the haberdashery in with the plaited fabric. It was in blue and white. It was giving me like streetwear New York meets kind of high-end Jeremy Scott Moschino kind of look. I thought it was really cool.
I thought this was phenomenal. When you realised it was made from leggings, it was just, yeah, completely blew my mind. Very well constructed. I thought she did really good. And she was the one that I sat there and went, finally, someone's actually doing an out dress. Because, yeah, it really took me four times of watching this challenge to realise that it was just a leaving your house to do whatever you wanted challenge. You're going out for the night to the bar. But yeah, it was beautiful, really well constructed. I loved the fact that she added that chain detail into it. It looked like it was meant to be there. It was, yeah, I have nothing really to say. It was just so, so good.
This is a real, like, amazing thing that Annie did here, that she had come up with such a creative way of doing this transformation. Like, I don't know how she even sat there and thought, you know what, I'm going to cut these leggings and then start plaiting them. Like, that is next level kind of thinking of how to construct and make a garment. Like, I don't know what Annie does for a living, but I mean, if she wanted to start making patterns and stuff, I'm sure she would have a really fantastic career in creating her own line of clothing, because if she can come up with something like that in, you know, 90 minutes, then what could she do if she was actually sat down and, you know, thinking about construction and coming up with other creative ideas? Just amazing.
Fashion buyer, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you're right.
So I imagine she's probably seen quite a few of dresses along that sort of style doing really well in sale. That's where she's probably got her inspiration from.
Yeah, she's got a bit of a background in fashion, so she's probably been exposed to a lot of different creative elements and inspiration. Ah, that all makes sense.
Yep. But I just thought it was really good, and I have to say she gave me my favourite moment so far in this series, of when she was at the haberdashery. She just pulled that one bit thing unraveled. I can so relate to that moment where you just take your eye off something for 1 second, suddenly chaos is happening.
Yeah, so
I could totally relate to her in that minute. I was just like, yep, I have been there in the haberdashery, then apologising to the guy because the whole thing's unraveled all over the floor.
When I was watching that, I was sat there giggling to myself, thinking, she's not noticed. When's she going to notice? And then when she noticed that it was like flying off, the ribbon was like flying off and going on the floor, I was like, oh my God, that was hilarious. I could watch that as like a little meme or a little video clip. That would be hilarious.
It just, that has honestly made this period for me. That one little moment, I loved it.
So in first place now we have Deborah, who had taken yellow and grey thermal sets, and she had produced a sweater with a double bow and ruffle detail. It was giving very kind of Chanel vibes. I thought it was a good color combo. I think yellow and gray always kind of look quite good together. It looked quite chic. There was quite a lot of work in it. She'd put on, you know, contrast cuffs. There was a neckband that looked like it was quite well put in. And yeah, I thought it was really fantastic.
This was beautiful. Absolutely stunning. I got the nod to Chanel. Yeah, I think this was really, really good. But now we know one bow is not enough for Esme.
You need to put as many big bows on as you can.
Yeah, I just imagine we're going to get to a point where there is just one garment that is constructed from hundreds of bows just to appease Esme and her need for bows. But yeah, it was phenomenal. She really deserved first place when it came to the transformation and construction, because you would not have guessed that that used to be sleepwear.
Yeah, I had to look online in some of the like Facebook groups and forums and that, and there was a couple people complaining, saying, "Oh, I don't think she should have come first because it was just a sweater; it wasn't an entire outfit." And you're supposed to do an outfit, and I was like, I think you were just supposed to produce an item that you could go out in. It didn't bother me that there was no bottoms to it. I thought,
and what do you mean it's not an entire outfit? I've seen people just going out in a sweatshirt, sweatshirt, pair of pants, high heels, you're done and dusted. As long as the sweatshirt comes down low enough that it at least covers half of your backside, that's an outfit.
Remind me not to go out around your town.
You'll see a lot. You will see a lot.
But I was just, when I was reading those comments, I was like, oh, have a day off, Brenda. Like, seriously, wind your neck in. I thought it was really good. And there was so much work that had gone into it as well. And I thought that the Deborah, Annie and Christian, for me, like, either of those could have been first place.
Yeah. Definitely. I do think Deborah definitely deserved it with the construction alone. But yeah, the top three were fantastic. But obviously, now that's two times in one day that Jill has been in the bottom. And I was getting worried, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, she really was in that danger zone. Not in a good place. Yeah, going into the made to measure, she really needed to pull out something incredible, or somebody else needed to massively, massively go wrong and, you know, not finish or send something down the runway that falls apart or something. So the made to measure was a luxury PJ set for a man. And by luxury, it was kind of insinuated that they could really think about using maybe difficult fabrics like silk. They had 5 hours to produce this PJ set. So what do you consider as luxury pajamas?
I mean, I'm one of those, I don't really like the feel of silk. I don't like the feel of sheeny fabrics on me, just because I find them too light. I probably would have gone down more of a cotton sateen kind of fabric, because you're still getting the luxury, you're still getting the softness of the fabric, but it's not as shiny. Yeah, I've just got a bit of a thing against shiny fabrics on my skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. And what if you were in this challenge, what would your PJ set have looked like?
Well, the funny bit was, when I was watching it the first time, I was actually sat next to my dad, and my dad was sat there going, oh, I would like some nice luxury pajamas. And I'm sat there going, are you hinting? If I ever got on, I would probably need to find out what my dad wanted. And then I'd probably have to make that just so I could go, there you go, you've got your luxury pyjamas now, mate.
Wait a minute, Sean. You don't have to go on Sewing Bee to make your dad some pyjamas. You could just make him some for Christmas.
No. No. You know what? I might actually make him some this year for Christmas, but at least then if I got onto Sewing Bee, at least it would have had a secondary purpose to making them to help me survive a competition and to make my dad something. But I'd also need to have a model that was about the same height. I just need to get my dad to come on the show to model. It makes it a whole lot easier, then he can just go home in the pyjamas.
You're all about the effort there, Sean.
Oh, definitely, aren't I just? So how about you? What would you have made?
I think I would have gone for... Initially, I thought I would have done like a shorts and shirt set, a little bit like what Brogan did. But then I kind of changed my mind and thought, actually, as it's really they're going for the luxury, I would maybe try and do something with silk. But instead of doing the collar like a lot of them did, I would have probably done like a Chinese collar, a little bit like Jill did.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the colour combo that Manny chose with the navy and the like red and white. So I probably would have done a bit of a combination of quite a few of those together.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could see that.
I wouldn't wear it to sleep because I don't really like wearing stuff to sleep, because I just feel like you wake up in the middle of the night hot and, you know, you're all tangled up and stuff. So mine would be for wearing to waft around the house in.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I mean, if I was to really think about it, I probably would have maybe gone down like a Hugh Hefner kind of vibe, like something you would pair with a velvet smoking jacket or something. Mm. Something that looks good to kind of waft around the house in. But yeah, like you, I'm not exactly a fan of certain clothes to go to bed in, because especially kind of tops, I always find I'm quite a restless sleeper. I end up strangling myself with a t-shirt in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
it would have been interesting. But yeah, if I ever got on, I would have probably gone down more of a kind of Hugh Hefner sort of vibe for the luxury pajamas.
You know what you could do as well? You could make a matching silk kimono to throw over the top of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the only problem with that is when you've got like really silky fabrics on top of each other and you try and like sit down on a chair or something, can you just end up sliding straight off because they're so slippery?
Yeah, or if they're a little bit polyestery, you end up developing static charge. And just end up electrocuting people around that.
I also thought about nightshirts as well, because Patrick was talking about nightshirts, and they're not that popular commercially. Like you're not going to find a nightshirt on ASOS or Boohoo or, you know, any of the high street really. But historically, nightshirts have been incredibly popular and worn by men, and there's a lot of actual sewing patterns around with nightshirts. So I was thinking maybe later this year, maybe I'll try and make myself a little nightshirt. That might be quite a quick, fun project.
Could be a fun one to do. I mean, I just get kind of a Christmas Carol vibes whenever someone mentions nightshirts. I just imagine someone walking around the house with a candle and trying to find the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah. But no, that could be quite a fun one. And I mean, Patrick did talk quite a lot about the sort of clothes he likes to wear at night. So it's quite an interesting episode.
Yeah, I think maybe Patrick's got a bit of a collection of nightshirts going on. And also, I thought if I could do a nightshirt, then really it's not that different to a caftan.
Mm-hmm.
So just change up the fabric a bit and then you've got something to waft around the pool with.
Yeah, no, you definitely do.
Anyway, we should probably start talking about what...
Yeah, let's talk about other people's work now.
Yeah. So, going alphabetically, we have Annie, who had used a stunning silk paisley fabric that looked like it had the most beautiful drape. I thought it was a really nice paisley. I'm not a fan of paisley, to be honest. It's not one of the patterns that I particularly am ever drawn to, but I liked hers. I thought the combination of colours in that paisley were very fresh and cool and modern and clean, but still with a little kind of nod to the classic about them. And I really loved how she'd put the black piping on and around a lot of the outfit with the black piping, because it really gave a strong kind of graphic pop to the item. And I thought that it's quite a clever way of making other fabrics kind of jump out. If you give that kind of black edge in, it's a little bit like in graphic design. If you put kind of thick black lines around stuff, it can really give that kind of pop element to it. So I thought it was a really lovely outfit. And I think, you know, any guy would be pretty pleased about getting those pajamas. What did you think?
Yeah, I really, really like them. Again, like you, I'm not a huge fan on paisley. So for me personally, it is not something I would have ever have worn. But the construction was really good. Obviously, we had a couple of little issues with some M's. But I think she did incredibly, incredibly well with this one. It was a difficult fabric to work with. She did very, very well. I got the inspiration. She said that she was inspired by ASAP Rocky. Yeah, I thought she did fantastic. I took my hat off to Annie. She did a really good job with a very simple fabric.
Yeah, Annie had a really amazing week this week, I have to say. Really fantastic week. And I'd imagine she's probably not worked with silk like this before, and I mean I haven't, and what scares a lot of novice sewers is you don't want to spend a lot of money on really expensive fabric because you're worried that you're just gonna fuck it up and ruin the fabric. So I mean, I've before been in fabric shops and seen some really beautiful fabrics, but I've always been too scared to buy them because I thought, you know what, I'm not skilled enough, I'm just going to ruin that, and then it's going to be a waste of like 50 quid on fabric or something. So it is probably something that she's not done a lot with, but yeah, well done, Annie.
Yeah,
we should move on.
The other bit, like, people say we'll buy a cheap version of the fabric and use that to practice with, but actually a cheaper version of the fabric is nowhere near as slippery as silk itself. So yeah, you can practice as much as you like, but when you actually get to do it in silk, it's like you're going to do it for the first time again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I understand sometimes when people say practice to make sure the fit's okay, and then use your good, then use the expensive stuff once you know that actually fits you nicely. But yeah, you're right that if you're using some kind of really synthetic like version, it's not going to handle exactly the same way as real silk will. But I guess just something that eventually, you know, in time you pick up the skills and you get the experience and then you can use those kind of fabrics.
Definitely.
So Brogan had used a cotton lawn in a tropical green print with little pops of orange and pink. It was like a monstera leaves all over it. She'd used an orange piping, which I thought was really nice, and it was a really cute pop of colour and gave it that kind of pyjama-y look. However, the judges felt that it looked more like a summer co-ord set than a pyjama set, because she'd used quite small buttons and because she'd used cotton lawn and because it was a short and shirt. So I think maybe if it had been full leg instead of shorts, maybe, or full sleeve instead of short sleeve, it would have had more of a PJ feel to it. But I thought they were really cute anyway, as a set.
They were really, really well constructed. very cute, but I completely get where the judges were coming from. When I looked at it, I could see people wearing it on a summer holiday, not off to bed. But yeah, I think had she made them in trousers, it would have definitely given a more pajama vibe than a summer cohort vibe.
Yeah, and I guess because she had used a cotton lawn, it was already distracting from the pajama luxury.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she really should have then gone extra effort to make them feel more pajamery by doing the long sleeve and the
dead.
But yeah, but they looked really great. They looked fantastically constructed.
Really fantastically executed. Just needed a little bit more planning and thinking about. That was it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you're working on a project in your head, before you do it, you've kind of got a vision of, you know, what it's going to be like. And then sometimes when you finish the project and you look at it and you're like, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to
end up
like. I'm just actually starting a oversized boxy shirt that I thought, oh, I can wear this to work. I can make like a new kind of work wardrobe for myself that will be quite comfy and like summery. And I've picked, I think, the wrong fabric. And I'm about quarter of the way through. And I looked at it today and I thought, oh, I've made myself basically like a big flannel shirt. That looks a bit lumberjacky, and I'm thinking that's not a summery shirt.
That's definitely not a summer shirt.
No, I think I'm gonna have to finish it and put it away in the cupboard for winter instead. Anyway, moving on to Christian, who had used a silk satin in a kind of reddish brown paisley. It was a very classic paisley. I do not like these kind of paisleys. This is like my worst nightmare of a fabric being both silk and a like brown paisley. He'd used piping on it. The actual fabric itself had a beautiful drape. I don't know what was going on with that cuff length. I've just written WTF cuff exclamation mark. He had a few issues with his French seam not catching all the little kind of raw threads in, and there was a couple of little wobbly issues, but it was generally an okay outfit, just not my cup of tea. The choices of colors,
I think the contrast between that bright blue and the paisley was a very, very clever design feature, because it really allowed the collar to really stand out. I wasn't a fan of the actual paisley fabric, and I think the one bit for me that I just can't stop staring at and just keep thinking why was the giant blue pocket on the front. It just looked too large for sleepwear. It looked like it was something to stick your phone in and a couple of pens. It looked a little bit too big and too bulky. Almost looked like a last minute idea.
You see, I don't even remember the pocket. I couldn't get over the cuffs. I need to go back and have another look, because I've seen it twice, but I didn't write any notes about the pocket.
It's the pocket, and I mean, he had issues with the facing as well. The facing was too short, so everything just looked a bit disproportionate, a bit all over the place, which is a shame. But yeah, it was my favourite, and it really made me worry for Christian after this.
Yeah, it was definitely not Christian's best work, and just the various issues that it had kind of put him in the kind of danger zone when it came to judging. Oh well, let's leave the paisley and the pocket and the cuffs there. Next up is Deborah, who'd used Duchess Satin. It was a blue fabric with white spots. The white spots to me looked a lot like kind of coronavirus. they did. It looked like a virus, because it was like a giant spot surrounded by little spots.
I got Weird Sunshine, but I mean, yeah, I'm normally the one that's like the kind of virus crazy person, and you're the one who's like, yep, coronavirus pajamas.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was definitely giving, it was cute, but it was definitely giving me a medical vibe there. The pattern matching was absolutely insane. I mean, I don't know, Deborah, how you did this. It was just like to the millimeter. I mean, I just was blown away. That's absolutely crazy. Yeah, and then with the blue fabric, she'd used red piping as a little accent, and it had cute buttons on it. The only issue that I really saw was that the pocket placement was a bit odd because it was so far to one side that it was almost kind of almost under his armpit a little bit.
Yeah.
And the fabric itself seemed a little stiffer. That Duchess satin seemed a little stiffer than some of the other people's choices. But I thought it still looked amazing.
It was really, really incredible. Impeccable sewing. It was, I mean, it's kind of what I expect from Deborah now, is that level of impeccable sewing when it comes to the made to measure. It was really, really something else. I think, yeah, her main issue was the placement of that pocket. I mean, no one really wants a pocket in their armpit. It's just not a good place to put things. And yeah, I really like the fabric choice, even if it did give some people coronavirus vibe. I thought it was very cute, but yeah, it was a little too bulky. Maybe it would have been perfect for a structured dress, but not so much pajamas. But yeah, it was phenomenal. It was incredible work.
Yeah, and she had also used French seams throughout as well. So that's extra work, having to basically do each seam twice. So well done, Deborah. That was a lot of work. So yeah, great work there. Up next, we've got Jill, who had used a blue fabric with a fish motif on, and then she had used orange piping accents. It had a Chinese collar. The top was kind of like a nightshirt, and then it had like trousers with it. There was some fit issues going on, especially with the collar, and she'd kind of run out of time, so had kind of skipped a few steps, and some of the edges were not finished nicely. What did you think of the outfit?
I loved the fabric. I loved the contrasting piping. She really thought about colour theory and what fabrics, what colours complement each other. I loved the fact that like her reason behind it was apparently if you dream of goldfish, you get happiness and good luck and whatever else it was. I thought that was quite a cute little thing. And I really liked the fabric because actually, from a distance, you don't really, you just see like this kind of pattern, but it isn't until you get up close that you realize what the pattern is. So yeah, I really commend her for her fabric choices, but fit wise, it wasn't right. The buttons I also felt were a little bit too bulky for streetwear, particularly that one that was right under his chin. That I can only imagine would get quite uncomfortable if you were trying to sleep in it. But yeah, I liked it. But yeah, there were quite a few fit issues. And like you said, her time, she ran out of time. She wasn't able to finish things to that luxury standard that the judges were expecting. And so she overlocked it. But my argument is at least she sent out a finished garment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was finished. The edges just weren't neat. And
yeah,
it was a finished garment, definitely. Interesting thinking about this. I've heard from an ex-B that when you're ordering your fabric, basically, they the team there kind of buy it for you. You tell them, you know, what you've seen, you know, usually online. And then they'll go and buy it and make sure it's there on the day for you. So sometimes I think people order fabric online, and then when you get to doing the garment, suddenly realize, actually, this is not the way I thought it was going to be, or it doesn't look exactly like the picture that was on the website. Or so maybe sometimes when we're talking about some of these made to measure, that actually there could have been issues with people buying fabric and then thinking, ah, oh, this is stiffer than it was supposed to be, or this is, you know, a lighter fabric than I was assuming it was going to be. So that's quite an interesting thing as well, I thought.
That would also make sense as to why, so throughout the pandemic, all of the models have had face masks that match their outfits.
Mm.
That makes so much more sense now, because I was sat there and went, wow, what a coincidence. He's got a face mask that perfectly matches the pattern on his the garment. And then I thought, oh my God, did they have to make a face mask alongside it? Like, we just didn't know about this. But no, that makes sense. If they're getting people to go out and buy it, they've probably then got a little team and take a little section of it, make the face mask and go from there. That is good to know that you don't have to do your own fabric shopping though. That is quite nice to know, because yeah, that's always one thing that I wondered, especially now that they're up in Leeds and it's a long period of time that they're filming, that obviously you're not going to spend however many weeks it is living in another place if you're not from that area. So what do you do if you're traveling to and from where you live to the location of where it's being filmed? What if you forgot, like you had to get the train and you forgot your fabric?
Yeah. You'd be a nightmare if you imagine you turned up for filming and then were like, I don't have any fabric. You would have to be running into that haberdashery and grabbing whatever fabric they had there.
It's like, oh, we're doing laundry. Has everyone picked up their stretch lace? And there's me like turning up with like fleecy material to make a dressing gown. Oh, that is good to know. You don't have to buy your own fabrics. You just find it online.
Yeah. I think that if there's anything really specific you want that you know is sold locally to you, you can go and buy it. But I think generally you can give them basically a wish list of how much you need and what fabric and send them the link and then they get it for you.
I want hand spun silk that was made by a blind nun. you get that for me for next week, please?
You'll get some grey polyester off the back of a van.
Esme's got connections of fabrics that's just fallen off the back of a lorry, hasn't it?
Some dodgy.
Definitely got some dodgy fabric connections.
Right, so back on to the sewing bee. So Man Yi was the last contestant who had produced a set which was like a navy and then like a deep red, and it had white piping between them. I thought that it looked like it was really well sewn. It looked classic, elegant. She'd added the little bee detail to the pocket as a little nod to the sewing bee. I thought these were a really beautiful looking set of pyjamas.
They were brilliant. And I love the fact that she made them for her dad. They were beautiful. And admittedly, like when they said in like the little video clip that she was adding a bee detail to try and get some brownie points, I was like, oh, she literally just adding something for the sake of adding it. And then when you saw it, you went, no, that was meant to be. No pun intended. but it was like, it was meant to be there.
Yeah.
It was part of the garment. It made sense with the garment. And it was just a lovely little detail. But I think it really made it. And it just added that extra level of luxury to it.
Yeah, you're right, it did. It was very considered and it did kind of elevate it and just kind of add that look that when you, not that I've got any luxury pyjamas, but for my work, I have had to go into places like Selfridges and Liberty and places that have got ridiculously expensive clothes. And when you look at those sets of pajamas that are like hundreds and hundreds of pounds, they have those kind of details. They have hand embellishments and they have all that kind of extra luxury there that she got by putting that B on. So I thought that was a really clever idea.
These were brilliant. They were so incredibly well thought out. I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, me too. And I think if somebody said to me, right, you get to pick one of these sets for you to keep, I would have been torn between Manu's and Annie's because I thought both were really beautiful. And I would have definitely wanted either of those. Which ones would you, if you could have a set, which ones would you want?
I think I probably would have got Manu's.
Yeah.
I there was just something so classic about them as well. So understated, classic, but ridiculously elegant and luxury. And yeah, I think these were absolutely phenomenal. And like I said earlier, I am so happy because like Manu was doing very, very well. She was surprising us and then she sort of dipped a little bit. And I feel like she's found her steam again. I think she's found her motivation. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does next.
Definitely. So it's no surprise then that Manu's pajamas were the garment of the week. I thought they were well deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, completely, hands down. She deserved that.
Well done, Manu. A little round of applause for you there. Unfortunately, Jill went home. Do you agree with the decision?
As much as it broke my heart, yes, I did agree with this decision. I think it would have been unfair for anyone else. Though I know at one point Christian thought that he was going, and when you watch it back, the moment they said Jill's face, you just saw that look of surprise appear on his face. I think he genuinely thought he was going to be going home. Yeah, as much as it breaks my heart, I think it was the right decision. I think Christian, though his made to measure wasn't fantastic, he still had one up on Jill in this episode.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think, unfortunately, it was the right decision. Even though Christian was so shocked when they announced it, I think Jill had been unfortunately placed in the bottom for the first two challenges. And although Christian's made to measure wasn't amazing, I think he'd done enough in the previous challenges to save him. And I mean, I got quite emotional when they announced, and especially when Jill did her little speech, that I had to literally grab the tissue because I was welling up and had tears. God, I'm already welling up now, even thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm doing the exact same at the moment. I'm kind of having to give myself a minute before I start speaking again. Yeah, it was lovely to hear how she's found this new level of confidence, being someone that used to wear a prosthetic limb, and now she feels confident to not wear it. Yeah, it was, you know what, the one bit that really got me, and I wasn't expecting to see it, was when they pan round to Patrick and Patrick was crying, and that was what set me off the most.
Watching Patrick have a little tear was like, it just showed how important it was and how much it meant, you know, to everybody. And I think when Jill had said about previously wearing a prosthetic limb and that she knew when she went on the show she wouldn't be able to wear one, and that she had kind of got through and not wearing it had, she found a new sense of confidence and it really set her free and she'd grown as a person. Oh, I was a mess.
Yeah. I have to say, this is possibly the most heartbreaking elimination there has ever been in Sewing Bee history. I was absolutely broken by this. And it took me a little while. But yeah, like I said, I think it was the most fair decision, particularly as Christian had done better in the other challenges. I think it would have been unfair to send him home, but I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what Jill does next. I'm really looking forward to seeing her growth in sewing, and I really hope to see her at sewing convention soon, because I would love to meet this amazing and inspiring woman, and I just hope she's listening to this.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to hunt her down when we go to the Stitch show, maybe in October, see if any of the Sewing Bee contestants are there, and try and get ourselves in a few selfies with them, because I would love to meet Jill as well. I think it should be noted that having people on shows like this, where you have diversity, whether it be people with different shaped bodies, or, you know, with gay or trans, or people of different skin colors, it's really important to have diversity and to show that, so that people at home can see a reflection of themselves in a show like this.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, well enough.
Oh God, this is going to be a hard podcast.
Oh, I'm going to have to edit this. I think it's like incredibly important that if there's kids out there watching that, you know, maybe don't have a hand or a leg or any kind of disability, that they can see somebody doing it and think, I can do that too. So it's just really amazing.
Right, I think before we get too emotional and end up crying,
it's too late.
Yeah, I completely get your sentiment there. Like, to be able to see someone who represents you, no matter who you are, whether it is a disability, your sexuality, your race, your gender, or whether you're an alien from another planet, to have someone represent you on a TV show like this helps to inspire and give hope and prove that no matter who you are, no matter what barriers may be in your way, you can do it, because other people like you have been there and done it themselves, and they are there to lead the way for you to be able to do it for yourself.
Exactly, yeah. It's truly inspirational. So well done, Jill, for really being that inspirational sewer. And she had an incredible journey, and she's an incredible sewist. So I don't know how she manages to produce such amazing items that she did, that just completely blew my mind. So fantastic.
We will miss you, Jill. We will really miss you.
Oof, so next week it's the quarter final, and it's 1930s week. What do you think that's going to be like?
Oh, yeah, this is always the one that gives me the most sewing anxiety. It was like that time when they brought out a copy of Marilyn Monroe's famous dress. And I just thought, oh my God, no. No. I would just pack my bags and leave at this point. It's going to be a challenge. I am worried for a couple of people. I think two people in particular, I think, are going to do really well. But there are three that I am a little bit worried about for next week. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, they are really stepping up with the challenges. It's going to be interesting. I'm actually starting to get scared for next season's contestants, because I mean, these challenges have been hard and they're only going to get harder.
Yeah, I mean, they're really up in the difficulty on some of these challenges. Like, it's getting really tough.
It really is.
Anyway, we had better stop for this week. So I'm hoping everyone out there has a good week, and we will be at it again next week.
Yeah, and if anyone knows how I can sign up to Esme's lessons, please let me know.
I'm sure there must be something online somewhere.
I shall have a look. I shall have a look soon.
Right, so that's goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.